You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. Two hat tricks in four games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats?
Hodgepodge.
Yeah, there's a Modge Podge. Whole Modge Podge of rumors.
This is a transfer Modge Podge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXMFC, Channel 85. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me, the ever reliable, the now in studio, Dave Goss. What's up, man? You're back.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a really long few weeks.
So what are you saying here? That you're going to bring minimal effort to this show?
Oh, no, maximum effort. I'm actually really excited to be back. I'm pretty stoked about this show because I am easily convinced. So at the beginning of every season, there's a moment where I convince myself that every team in MLS is going to be really good this year and really fun to watch.
And we've basically done that with the Chicago Fire over the past three or four shows, all the time we spent down at the Combine and MLS Superdraft down in Southern California. We were on that tip, no doubt about it. We've got our Chicago Fire. What was this? A paint bucket here to stand by?
Valspar.
Just so we can paint the world with our own thoughts and colors on the Fire season. Look, a big show for you today, but a bigger week for Extra Time Radio listeners. That's because this is the Extra Time Radio Extravaganza, or some other, I don't know, used car sales promotional method here. Because we're putting out five shows this week, Dave. Five. How do you feel about that?
Lots of work.
Even more tired than you already are?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to get him some caffeine. Monday, we're here. You're listening to us to give you a little bit of an idea of what you're going to listen to. This is going to be the Eastern Conference Where Do They Stand edition. Because it's MLS teams are headed into preseason, they're doing physicals today, they're just kind of hanging out, seeing each other for the first time after a long winter. We're going to take a look at each conference and kind of give you a snapshot about where things stand with each of these teams. What moves have they made? What holes do they still have to fill, perhaps? What are their needs? And then we'll talk about what gets us jacked. What are we excited for as we watch the preseason go down and look ahead to the MLS season, which starts at the beginning of March. Today's the Eastern Conference. Thursday's the Western Conference. In between, on Tuesday, we've got a special with interviews with Dom Kinnear and Mauro Biello. Of course, those are the head coaches of the Earthquakes and the Impact. And on Wednesday, we'll do that again, except this time with Oscar Pareja and Wilmer Cabrera, Dallas and Houston head coaches. Friday, we'll come back with Jason Christ, the Orlando City boss. And that, Dave, is an episode people won't want to miss. I mean, we've kind of teased this, but I've never heard Jason Christ quite that open and honest, and for about 45 minutes.
Yeah, well, he's an intelligent guy. He knows the game through and through, but it's a lot about his experience coming from player to coach, and I think it teaches you a lot about how players assess their post-careers and then how coaches assess their careers, because while it's all soccer, it's fun, it's also jobs for these people.
Yep.
A lot of that from Jason was really interesting for me to hear about how he went about making these life decisions.
And the work ratchets up. From player to coach, it is a big difference. It goes from getting to training, maybe getting a stretch in, maybe some extra physical work, tape work, and going home. It's not like that for head coaches, and Christ will explain that, as well as what the last couple, I don't know, years have been like for him. They've been a little bit tough. He was one of the most hyped coaches in the U.S. pool and had some tough times in NYCFC, but now hit his feet at Orlando, so we'll see what's up with that. We'll also talk about them in just a second, but first we've got some news to go over around MLS. Free agency, Chance Myers headed to the Portland Timbers. Dave, good signing?
Yeah, I really actually like this signing. He didn't fit anymore in KC, but that doesn't mean he's not a guy who can't play in MLS anymore. And I think depth and experience defensively for Portland's been an issue over the last few years. Alvis Powell's talented, but he makes mental mistakes. He also travels to play with Jamaica, so a useful signing.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Alan Gordon headed to the Rapids. This has been long rumored. A one-year deal, according to the release. He comes in. You'd have to think he's a bench player, but perhaps adds some goals at the ends of games, adds a set-piece threat. We know that Gashi can whip those balls in. Just another option there for Pablo Mastroianni, and really a signing that makes a lot of sense for them in a lot of different ways. David Horst and Chad Barrett looks like they're going to RSL, so those are kind of depth signings for
Horst
them. Horst
a good signing for them, though. They need center back.
Depth. Yeah, they do. They definitely did. And then there are rumors out there that Sebastian Letou is headed to DC United. We're not even sure they need him, but that might be a great signing for them as well. We know how well those MLS vets land with Benny Olsen at DC. Some other outside of the free agency bucket here Ian Harkes, homegrown, DC United, the Wake Forest product. He was the Mac Herman winner. He's a stud.
Yeah.
And for a while here, it didn't look like this might not happen with – sorry, that was too double negative there. It didn't look like it would happen,
yeah.
But it did happen. He can change their team. What's it mean in a bigger kind of philosophical
perspective? Well, DC's been good bringing through young players, even though we, I think – people that are watching the system say, well, they maybe aren't investing as much in that part. They've brought through young players. They brought through homegrown players that are difference makers. Andy Nahar might be the most successful one.
Maybe Bill
Hamid's of all
an
time.
Obvious one. I think you could even say a guy like Taylor Kemp is one of those
right.
guys. Nick DeLeon is one of those guys. Even Chris Pontius was one of those guys.
Yeah, so it's part of that for them, but it's also this guy would have been the number one pick at the MLS Super Draft. So DC, a team that we think is set up very well from last year to this year, mm-hmm. just made a big addition, which in a position of need as well.
Yep, homegrown player. You know him, of course. John Harkes is his father, the head coach of FC Cincinnati. Check out a really, really cool reel on MLSsoccer.com. You can see their goals, their highlights, kind of side by side. It's very interesting to see
and also, I think
Ian Harkes.
Part of why it was tough to sign him was because of the knowledge that his family has of the soccer world. Also one of the reasons you want him, because of the experience that
yep.
he has. He's not going to come in like a rookie. His girlfriend was drafted, I think, to the NWSL as well. So it's like a group of people that know
yeah,
the soccer world.
They knew what they're doing. Minnesota, they're making some signings here. Brent Coleman and Ibsen signed. Those are two guys off the NSL team. That's a defender and a midfielder as they slowly fill in their roster. Also, BK Hacken confirmed their side of the sale of Rasmus Schuler. He's a Finnish national team guy, a midfielder, kind of a holding mid, maybe can play number 8. That's not confirmed by Minnesota yet, but it looks like it's going to happen. That's been on the grapevine for a long time. So things happening there. And then the Revs also are rumoring a TAM level CB signing. And we'll talk about that as we get into the teams. Let's do it right now, Dave. Eastern Conference from back to front. We'll start with the Chicago Fire. We'll end with Atlanta United. We'll talk about the moves. We'll talk about the needs. We'll talk about the reasons to watch. We'll talk about the big questions. And let's start with the Fire, who were dead last in the East, 31 points, 7-17-10 last season. The moves, Juninho, everybody knows about that one. That's a huge move for them. Dax, we all know about that as well. And that's the DP forward up top, the Hungarian who lit up the Polish league, Nemanja Nikolic. What gets you jacked here? What gets you excited? It's got to be the two in the back in the midfield, right?
Yeah, Juninho was one of the best players in the league. Phenomenal central midfielder. Went down, played well in Mexico. Also bringing his son, Junior Juninho, who is one of the most adorable people in the world. But to me, it's exciting. It goes from a weakness to a strength. And for a team, I mean, if you want to turn around, that's a great way to start.
Yeah. Look, they couldn't hold on to the ball last year. It was not a team that was fun to watch in a lot of ways. It was David Akam over the top. You figured Dax and Juninho fixed that. But now you're asking questions about Matt Polster and some others, and that leads us to needs for the Fire. I look at their right back spot on the depth chart. I'm not sure that's going to get it done for them. They're saying Kapelhoff will play out there. If indeed that's the case, then I'm asking what's up at central defense.
I mean,
the back line's still an issue.
Yeah, Jonathan Campbell came in, played very well out of college last year. You had Jaumeira play there as well. He swapped between right back, center back, mainly center back. I thought Kapelhoff was one of the best center backs in the league when I watched him play there. So I'd like to see him there, and that to me means right back is an issue. I don't know that Michael Harrington's a full MLS starter mm-hmm. anymore. So that's a question mark. It's also a question mark because who's in front of them at right midfield? And are those guys getting the job done? If not, then you need to make sure you're really strong at right back and maybe even getting some attacking help from right
yeah,
back.
Yeah, somebody to overlap maybe. Arturo Alvarez on the right wing right now. Solanak maybe. Kalistri. Those names aren't lighting it up for them. But there are reasons to be really excited about the Fire. You've heard us kind of convince ourselves, and you can do that with a lot of teams, as Dave said, that they could be really good. I mean, the question on my plate here is, can they be this year's Rapids? They had a good kind of basis last year at times. It wasn't a complete team, and you saw that in their record. But they went out. They made big moves in positions of need. I think maybe there's still one or two moves left here. Maybe they go out and get another center back, right back, get that defensive depth. Could this team be the Rapids?
Yeah, I don't think they'll be that good. I don't think we're looking at a team that'll be top 2 or 3.
The Rapids would be very good. I mean, we dumped on them.
No,
Rapids.
I understand, but I'm saying I think that this team more is what we saw from Philly last year.
Mm.
Good stretches, tough stretches, definitely in the conversation to be in the playoffs. And I think that's the direction of this, right? Pano's a young coach. Nelson Rodriguez is new there. I don't think it's 0-60 in 1 year,
mm-hmm.
but I think they're going to be better. There's going to be, I think, an easier way to see, okay, then how do we improve for the year after in terms of holes? And I think right now you also need to see how good is David Akam. mean, is he a Nico Lodero, Sebastian Giovinco?
And that goes into the big questions. That brings us right there. It's a good point because he has the talent physically. I mean, at times you see it technically from him as well, but they've just been lumping the ball over to him basically every game. There's no consistent plan with David Akam, it seems, other than use his speed.
And it would be great to see how he plays where he has some help, where teams can't fully focus their defensive effort on him and see how good he is. Because like you said, he can break the game open on those long balls. But can he play in when the mm-hmm. game closes down? Can he play in possession?
Big question also, Michael Deleu. I mean, that looks right now, that attacking midfield second forward, that's where Deleu says he's best. But I'm not sure that we saw last year definitive proof that he is a primary attacking option for a playoff team.
Yeah.
We shall see. I also think there's questions about Pano. Veljko Panovic, we know how good he was with the Serbian youth national teams. He won that Youth World Cup. Just has the 1 year of professional experience, and it was not a great year. And, look, the roster wasn't good enough.
That's hard to get anything out of that.
Right.
Hard to judge anything.
Yeah, but can he create a coherent team that can put it all together? That's the big question right now with the Fire. And also, I'm going to throw a question mark out before we go and move on here. Goalkeeper. Is Lamson the guy? Is the Uruguayan they brought in the guy? He's 35, has kind of been playing up and down in different places. Something to watch. Columbus Crew FC finished ninth last year in the Eastern Conference, 36 points, 8-14-12. Of course, they had been in MLS Cup the season before, lost heartbreakingly at home. The defense was a problem last year, Dave. I don't think Crew FC fans need to be told that, which is why five of the six signings so far are on the defensive side of the ball. Jonathan Mensa is the big one in the moves column here. He's a DP. We all know him from the World Cups, from Ghana. Still just 26, I believe. A big signing there. We liked Lawless Abubakar from the Combine and MLS Super Draft. Have they done enough on the back line, or do they still need to go out and make some moves?
No, I think they've done enough. I think that right there, if it all fits together the way you want it to fit together. But Ness, I thought, was phenomenal, center back or holding mid. So Mensa will fit in next to him, and I think they have two of the best fullbacks still in the league. They need to cover for them. They need to be good behind them. Goalkeeper is a question mark, so if you're including that in the conversation with defender, I mean, right now it's Zach Steffen, who's just a very young goalkeeper.
Ton of talent, though.
So that's a question mark in terms of that back line, that back core. And then as you move forward, Will Trapp needs to have a healthy, his level ability season.
Yeah, and Tony Chani needs to get back to 2015 levels as well. But you look at behind them, they lost Mo Saeed to Minnesota United. So to me, if you're thinking signings for Crew SC the rest of the way, defensive mid, and we're seeing rumors right now that another Ghanaian, Mohamed Adu, I believe, is his name. Mohamed Abu, my bad, is a possibility for them. Rumors he could come from, I believe it's Norway, somewhere in Scandinavia, but a guy that would provide depth and maybe even challenge those guys for starting positions. I mean, the reason to watch here is obvious. In 2015, this was like my MLS Live team. It was so fun to watch. I mean, Crew SC were flowing. They possessed the ball. Kai Kamara's dunking on fools. Justin Miram, Robbie Finley, those fullbacks overlapping. I mean, this team could be really fun to watch. The defense just didn't get it done last year. But you like a different Kamara.
Oh, I'm in love with Ola Kamara. He's my favorite player in Major League Soccer. Incredible human being. I hope that people get to know him a little bit more as he now comes into his own. But just an interesting guy to listen
FYI,
to.
FYI, Dave spent like 20 minutes just talking to Ola about like world politics.
Yeah, geopolitical situations. Yep.
That's where some of this goes. But he scores goals. Scored a ton of goals last year.
He's a finisher. John's a finisher behind him. I think Nico Hansen, they got in the draft, will be a piece on the wing behind Miram, Duka, and Finley, which is a ton of depth already. I have question marks about Pipa and what type of player he is anymore at attacking midfield. I think anyone who listens to this show knows that I've been asking that Justin Miram be allowed to play the number 10 for the last year and a half to 2 years. So we'll see how that plays out. He's also Berhalter's played Tony Chani a little bit more advanced when he was kind of trying to figure out what he has going into this year. A ton of potential.
And the thing about attacking midfield with the Crew is it doesn't necessarily feel like that's out of position in which you're like, yeah, play those little through balls into Ola Kamara. It's more make sure you get the ball in the right rhythm and space to your overlapping outside backs and these wingers and let them go do work. And, you know, Pipa's had good moments. He's had some not-so-good moments recently. Can he bounce back and be that number 10 that they need him to be? Crew SC looking to get back to the playoffs. Orlando City also looking to get to the playoffs for the first time in the history of their franchise. Jason Christ taking over, as we said. Remember, on Friday, you can listen to that exclusive interview with the Lions boss. They had 41 points in 2016. They were 9-11-14. They've been pretty quiet on the transfer front. Will Johnson is a free agent. PC Giro coming in. He's a left back out of NASL. So they have some needs here. Not a ton when you look at their roster, because they don't have really the space to add them.
Yeah,
but.
And Kreis said to us when we sat down with him, and it's going to play live on Friday, as you mentioned, that he likes this team. And he said that last year at times as well. He got that half season or bit to assess them in live play.
And I think that's mostly what it was. That and ingraining his training techniques on them.
So that might be enough. I mean, Ramos was hurt last year. That's a full-time good right back that you were missing that you're getting back. Rumors of Jonathan Spector. That's a above-level center back that you might
or
be getting.
Or right back, perhaps.
Or right back that you're getting in your team. They're loaded at central midfield, not in a positive way, in a bodies way.
And Kreis addresses that, by the way. That was an interesting answer.
So I find them as one of the most confusing teams, because the question is, can Jason Kreis do more with the same? It wasn't good enough last year under Adrian Heath. Can he make something else happen? And they might fit his style more. There might be guys who weren't settled in MLS. Rivas got a little bit better last year.
Yep.
Can he take another step and be the guy they thought he'd
be? Can Breck Shea take a step and revitalize his floundering national team and professional career? Because it hasn't been going well for him the last couple of years. It's been stop-start. It hasn't been consistent. Injuries get in his way every time he seems to have a nice little run of form. Will they hold on to Hot Boy Molino? Because it seems Minnesota United really, really want him. And what is, you know, I question Jason Kreis a little bit. He's got to show, once again, that what we saw from it at RSL and the reason why he got that job at NYCFC and the reason why people said he was a U.S. national team candidate, he needs to show that again, both for himself and for other folks as well. And then Kaká.
Yeah, I think that's the piece where if Kaká's healthy at the beginning and things are working, maybe that confidence in the squad would be enough to push them through for a stronger season. They need a healthy Kaká.
They got to have a healthy and productive Kaká. New England at 7. We'll hit the break after that. 42 points, 11, 14, and 9 moves. Hey, insert that cricket sound for me, Dave. Oh, sorry, post-production? No, just kidding. Crickets, because nothing's happening right now. Brian Wright is all they have on incoming. That's that draft pick out of Vermont, the Canadian who will not count as international. Xavier Kouassi is back, so that's good.
That's an addition.
Yeah. He was a big signing for them last year.
Doesn't make a player.
No. Apparently this TAM center back will be announced this week. Brian Bilolo is promoting that on Twitter. They desperately need it, and that brings us to needs, and I literally have center back written down 10 times because they're desperate for it.
And it's mind-blowing that it hasn't gotten done yet, although Bielo's saying
like it's
that
coming.
It has.
They're saying two. Well, rumors
two.
Are saying two.
It has to be two because you don't have a starting center back on this team. So you have to bring in two guys who can start in this league. And that might mean you have a little bit of a bumpy start to the season because it's two guys playing next to each other that I've never played in this
league.
But you
can recover.
Yeah.
And MLS has shown you can recover from that.
And you have attack. I mean, this was a team that – we made fun of him, but Doyle said was a Supporters' Shield contender last year.
Yeah, let's just go right to reasons to watch, man.
Because of those reasons, because of the quality, because of Lee Wynn, Kellen Rowe, Juan Agudelo, Kai Kamara now, because of all of those guys, Teal Bunbury, Scotty Caldwell is a good consistent player. Maybe he plays next to Kouassi this year, so they're more solid at defensive midfield, which would help that
Diego Fagundes, I'm going to just throw that name out there as well. I mean, attacking-wise, you get jacked. I mean, I want to see this team play, but I want to see them actually flow, and there are some question marks for them because it's not cut and dry as to the way they'll play, and it's not cut and dry as to who will actually do the playing because Kai Kamara is a great player in this league but has shown sometimes doesn't deal well with not playing or not having the position in a team that he thinks he should have. Juan Agudelo was crushing at the end of last year.
They made that run because of Juan Agudelo's play at number 9.
And can they play two? Can they play two forwards?
Otherwise, one of them has to.
Or Juan has to play in kind of a wing or 10 role, and maybe that's not his best place. I mean, for me, the big questions for them, defense, it's not just center back. I think they need depth at right back as well. And then it's attacking minutes and egos. Can Heaps keep players in check, and can he get production out of them? Because when you look at the Revs, you look at that attack – your eyes get big, and they have a wealth of players. They were not able to make that wealth into a playoff position last year, and that's a tough deal for the Revs. They want to get back to that. They've got a lot of tradition there, of course, in MLS Cup. Before that, that is the non-playoff teams. We will start with Philadelphia and go all through Atlanta in the next segment. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
back now on Extra Time Radio. Andrew Wiebe and David Goss here on MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXMFC Channel 85. We're rolling through the Eastern Conference, getting you ready for the season because preseason started today, January 23rd. Teams are reporting. They're meeting the media. They're getting those physicals done. They're preparing for the long preseason slog to prepare them for the 2017 season. How many times can I say prepare? Well, it's a number of them. So that's the deal right now for MLS teams. If you missed them, the non-playoff teams, we're in the first segment. And if you missed the news, this week is an Extra Time extravaganza. 5 shows, 5 days. Go check out the schedule, MLSsoccer.com. We've got interviews with Dom Kinnear, Mauro Biello, Oscar Pereira, Wilmer Cabrera, and Jason Kreiss in addition to our normal shows. Yep, let's jump on to the 6th-place team in the East last year, the Philadelphia Union, who made a step forward. They got back to the playoffs with a young team, made some good moves. Ernie Stewart's first year kind of heading the technical side over there. And, of course, Jim Curtin still in that head coaching role. 42 points, 11, 14, and 9. Things did not go the way they wanted to in the knockout round. But that's okay. Still a successful season for the Union. They went out and they reinforced up top Jay Simpson, who's going to go on our question mark section as well. We're not sure about him. He's got a little bit of a spotty goal-scoring record. Had a big year in the championship a few years ago. Has been pretty good in League 2 recently, but does that translate? Not so sure. They went out and got a left back, which I will give Dave the honor of pronouncing here.
Wijnaldum.
Yes, Wijnaldum. Juliana Wijnaldum out of the Netherlands, who, you know, obviously Ernie Stewart is very, very familiar with. Thinks has a really good potential. Their outside backs look good. I still feel like there's another big signing coming, maybe at center back or central midfield, and that kind of takes us into needs. Dave, I think they need a veteran center back. If they want to take a step forward and they want to be a better team than they were in 2016, I think they need somebody to partner with Richie Marquez.
But do you think that's their number one need?
That's
the question for them right now, is they have a lot of pieces in some spots, but when I look at center back and I say, okay, do you take the risk with Marquez, Yaro, and Tribbett there because you haven't replaced Vincent Nogueira still?
Yeah.
Unless you're relying on Maurice Adu, which I think is a risky thing to do. And if
reports he's back in the training facility running, doing all that. I mean, we've heard those.
Yeah, no,
we've heard those
great.
A lot of different times. It really is tragic what's happened to Maurice Adu recently.
And if you are, then is Alberg your number 10 as well? So those, to me, are those 2 question marks, taking away the fact that we don't know if there's enough goal scoring at center forward for this team. It's a lot of question marks.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to make any moves up top. They got Sapong, they got Simpson, they got Davies. Those are their dudes up top. They usually play that one forward. You've got Pontius. Can he stay healthy at left midfield? Can he maybe even take a step forward after last year? Because last year, great year for him, but I do think he has even more to provide potentially here. Right mid?
That's fine.
Erber, Zilcinho, Ayuk, you feel pretty good, but it's that attacking midfield spot and maybe death behind Chris Pontius. And like you said, maybe central midfield. Otherwise, it's Bedoya. You've got Jones, who's a young guy in there. Brian Carroll is like, you know, he's never going away. And Warren Cravall can do a job. So the question is, do you maybe wait till summer on that? I think another signing probably coming here. We'll see what happens there. Reasons to watch this team? I mean, can they take the leap? They were the team that pushed their way into the playoffs. Now can they be a team that maybe gets a bye or maybe pushes for the 3rd or 4th position who – get to host a playoff game instead of going on the road? I mean, these are the little steps that a team like the Union need to take. Other reasons to watch? Ali Bedoya.
Yeah, I think with Bedoya, he was over in Europe and he fits so well because he does so many things well. But the question is, does he do anything great, or is being an extremely well-rounded, strong player enough to warrant the amount of money in addition that they put into him to be on this team? So, you know, I think he's a guy who could still play at a top level on a lot of European teams, but he would be a solid starter. And does he have the ability to be a star in MLS?
Right.
Same questions were asked of Michael Bradley when he came into the league because of the position he plays and the way he plays it. So that, to me, is what I'm watching for with Bedoya.
Yeah. For me, it's where does Curtin think he's best deployed to help this team? Because I argued when they signed him that he was going to be the 10, that he would play in that advanced role where we're kind of saying, oh, we're not sure about Alberg here, and Alberg could maybe be like an attacking guy off the bench you throw in when you need a goal. See if he plays there or at the number 8. I mean, I think the plan was for Maurice Adu to be the guy who played in that 8 role, right? And we still don't know what's going to happen with him. So some question marks there. I also think the outside backs are a reason to watch this team. Keegan Rosenberry, another year. We saw him kind of hit a wall. Can he do it consistently for 34 games? We know he can play 34 full games. And then Fabinho, obviously, is a solid player in MLS. Brings something to left back Wijnaldum. They got some good players out there. Gattis, of course. The big questions, I mean, I think the biggest one is Jay Simpson any good outside of Maurice Adu? Like, I don't know. He could be BWP.
Yeah. Yeah, he could be.
Yeah, no, look, that's low
percentage.
That's
a really one tough.
I know, that's low percentage. Like, BWP, in a lot of ways, you don't hit a home run like that every time.
Who was the other championship striker that won their Supporter Shield winning team from Luke? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, how can we not know this? Bald Luke. Rogers.
Luke Rogers.
Yes.
So he was a useful player out of the championship as well.
He was.
Or lower division England.
Uh-huh. Okay, so maybe he could be Luke Rogers.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see. Union fans, I would like to know what you think of Jay Simpson. What do you think of that signing? And then, of course, it's Maurice Adu. It's Pontius. Can he stay healthy? And if they don't get a center back, it's how does that back line shape up throughout the course of the whole season? That's the Union. We'll see if they can make the playoffs again. The Montreal Impact, they're carding that as well. Fifth in the East, 11-11-12. 45 points, made that big run in the postseason, just barely got beat out by Toronto FC in that wild series in the Eastern Conference Championship. The moves, they've been pretty quiet. Chris Duvall, but it looks like maybe from Italy they've got some central midfield help coming.
Yeah, well, they made the signing already in Jamile. The question is whether or not he's coming in the summer or coming now. He obviously plays for Bologna, which their owner, Saputo, owns. They are now seem to be fairly safe from relegation, not very close to a European spot. So it sounds like they might be willing to let him go earlier because they don't feel that they need him in their roster this year, which would be huge for Montreal. I think either way, though, they're fine because they have a lot of experience in central midfield, players that maybe can't play a full MLS season, but if he comes midway through the year, then they can get them
to
that summer.
Through.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bernier,
otherwise, he's
Donadel,
their starter.
Bernadello, Callum Malice. I mean, they got some options.
Yeah, so I don't think it's a lot of worries. I think Duvall's an upgrade at right back for them. He's a solid. He's a true fullback, more mobile than Kamara there. They're good in central defense. Obviously, Piatti's one of the most special players in the league. And Mancuso started fairly well. I mean,
yeah,
we haven't seen him for a full year, but.
Yeah, so we're looking at needs here. Ontivero's gone. Venegas is gone. Drogba's gone. Probably some attacking depth. Harry Ship's gone. So central attacking midfielder. I mean, if Jamali comes in, I think maybe they would play him farther up the field in that scenario because they do have a glut of kind of the 6'8 type player. Center forward, too. I mean, we don't know what Mancuso is going to be this year. He was great last year, and he provided exactly what they needed, but that was also in that counterattacking style, and it was also not for a full season. So that's question marks. And then behind Ayungo, who plays left back? Maybe we'll see a young cat in preseason. Maybe we'll see a signing come in. We'll wait and see. Reasons to watch. You mentioned Piatti. This is also a big question. Nacho Piatti could be the best player in the league. He could be the MVP next year. He has that sort of talent. If he gets injured, he could also wreck the Montreal Impact season.
Yeah,
so
they
there's
don't
a lot
have
of questions,
a backup for him, but no one has a backup for these guys. If Valeri gets hurt, when Diaz got hurt, if Sasha gets hurt.
Ladero gets hurt.
Yeah, no one does because that's just the nature of the league. You can't afford to have a true backup for a guy that takes up a lot of your salary cap and is the best player on your team.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. If Piatti goes down, that could be a death bell for the Impact season. They've got a lot to look forward to, though. I think this is a team that is solidly a playoff team. The question is, now how do they push on post-Drogba now that Bielo is really in charge for sure after the decisions he made last year. Remember, that interview tomorrow, Tuesday, check it out, MLSsoccer.com, Dom Kinnear and Mauro Bielo. DC United were the fourth team in the East last season on 46 points. They were 11-10-13. We talked about Ian Harkes. Jose Guillermo Ortiz has come in at forward, the Costa Rican, who they saw in the Champions League. You got some draft picks that came in, some homegrowns that have come in. Sabo and Igbo are gone, so center forward's a little bit different, but that's Paddy Mullen's zone now. Do they have any needs? Because you and I looked at their depth chart, and we kind of looked at each other and exchanged a little glance that said,
this seems awesome.
Holy crap, this team could be like.
Yeah, this seems really, really good. Bill Hamid is always a health question, so maybe backup goalkeeper is a question.
Still is
mark.
A health question.
Yeah.
I mean, he's scheduled to get back right around the start of the season.
So Travis Wora is your goalkeeper then. Depth at left back, maybe a little bit, but I think that's nitpicking at some point. So I think the one question mark for me is that attacking midfield role. Lloyd Sam had a great year, but he has struggled with injuries in the past. And then you were kind of starting Jared Jeffrey and Lucho Acosta next to each other in the front, in the four attacking players. is Jeffrey good enough to do it for the full year? Do they make a positional or a formation switch that Harkes starts alongside Sarvas in a two-man defensive midfield? So there's a few questions there, but I think they're good questions. The questions are you have different options, so there's no negative.
So
there.
It's up to Benny to find those options right now. There is a little bit, there's a little bit of a question mark for them at center back and outside back, because it looks like Sean Franklin is going to move inside to center back, and we're very used to at this point with DC United that pairing and Bobby Boswell and Steven Birnbaum. It's been a good pairing for them, but you know, and if you're listening out there, I'm sorry, man, but Bobby's getting a little old. And, he's not as mobile as he once was, which is to say he's exactly as mobile as he once was, which is not very mobile. Maybe it's a split time situation with he and Sean Franklin. I think they're going to try to hold the ball a little bit more this season. Do you think that could work?
It would make sense because it seems like De Leon's going to get a shot at right back. It seems like Odui Achim's a guy we covered at draft who can definitely play
and
in Sasha MLS.
Sasha Strovsky, who's a pretty good judge of MLS talent, loves the dude.
Yeah, so he's athletic. He'd battle. So they have options at right back, which means that you can take that risk with Franklin at center back and see what you have there. But once again, that's just more depth. And that's just another question mark, quote unquote, which can only make the team better than they were. And they were one of the hottest teams.
Their question marks are questions with answers within the team. And potential good answers.
With
the
addition of Ian Harkes, that's what happened.
Yep.
Because before that, if Sarvas was out, they were in trouble. And now they have now they have an option.
Reason to watch, we said it, this team looks really fun. And I think Benny Ball is going to be one of those phrases that kind of gets relegated to people's past lexicon. During this season.
No, it's going to get repurposed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like
I like that better.
To the Arsenal used to be like,
now it's got
ugly.
A dichotomy to it. Yeah. You know, post 2017 Benny Ball versus 2017 onward. Another reason to watch, Paddy Mullins. That's definitely a drink trigger for you out there at home, even though the armchair analyst isn't with us. We hope to have him with us on Thursday. Was it a flash, or is this guy really potentially best American goal scorer, Taylor Twellman, good in MLS? That's a question that they've got to answer. And if he is between Taylor Twellman and an average forward, that's really, really good for them. If he's Taylor Twellman, this might be the best team in the league. So we'll see what happens with DC, but you should be very, very excited, Black and Red. At 3 in 2016 was Toronto FC, 53 points, 14, 9, and 11. They've been quiet on the transfer front, and understandably so. If you don't know the way the MLS salary cap works, bonuses triggered the year prior. If you still have that player, that carries over and that goes onto their cap hit. That's part of now then their compensation. So teams that are successful often have a real tough time with the salary cap in Toronto FC with the amount of big-time players they have. Just don't really have the room to go out and make big deals, but they got Clint Irwin back in the expansion draft after he was taken. Sergio Camargo is a homegrown from Syracuse, a talented guy. And then Brandon Aubrey was a potential steal at the late part of the first round of the Super Draft. Still need, I think just one spot, that right wing back position maybe behind Bedisher.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely a need. Whether or not you're going to get a guy who could play at both fullback spots, you have Ashton Morgan, who was hurt for large stretches. He's an experienced Toronto guy, but you might feel you need to upgrade both those spots. But Brandon Aubrey comes in as an option at all three of those center back spots, and so you have that depth there. Central midfield is loaded, so I'd say right wing is
I'm going to skip
question.
Ahead to big questions before we hit reasons to watch here, because I think this goes right into the five-man back line. Do they stick with it? It worked at the end of last season, and it worked into the playoffs. And
although
Greg Vanney
conceded how many goals against Montreal? Five?
A good number.
Yeah, it worked.
Not a few.
Right.
But they didn't concede any to the Sounders over 120 minutes.
They did not.
That was also in the Tundra, but, whatever. Do they stick with that five-man back line? Because that could change the way that they play and what kind of opportunities are there for center backs. Greg Vanney said it on this show. We built up the whole season to have options later on. So I don't think looking at Toronto FC and trying to pigeonhole them into a tactical identity is a good idea. But certainly you wonder how they'll start.
And I think one other question mark, not question mark, but something you're looking out for is can they be better at home? Because they were unbelievable on the road. But you don't want to put that due stress on your team. And I think part of being really great on the road is they have those long road stands where you get comfortable with it. So in a year where maybe you're playing more normal a schedule, can you be good at home?
Yeah.
I mean, you should be.
You should be. Definitely with that.
And
statement.
Then the last thing for them is can Chapman or Hamilton take a step? Osario's another player, but I think Osario showed you that he was a useful player last year in the team. The question now is can Hamilton be the third striker behind Josie and Javinko and be good? And can Chapman be a difference maker in central midfield?
Yep. They need a little bit of creativity to come out of Chapman this season. A step forward. Reasons to watch.
He scored for Canada against Bermuda.
Mm-hmm. reasons to watch. I think they're pretty obvious. This team could be a team that competes for a treble. They could get a shield. They could get a Canadian championship. They could go win MLS Cup. They could do all of those things if they stay healthy and productive the whole season long, and they're able to weather some of these international absences that will happen because they have a lot of internationals. The other reason to watch, the reason why they could compete for that treble, yeah, it's all the rank and file. It's the guys that do a job, but it's Jozy Altidore, man. It's Sebastian Giovinco. It's Michael Bradley. I mean, Jozy could rip this league apart in 2017. He could go out and score. He could go do the Giovinco thing and score 20-something goals.
Yeah, no, and he did it at the end of last year. I mean, he, as great as Giovinco is, he carried them through the playoffs. Giovinco's worst, what, three games were the two versus Montreal and the game versus Seattle and maybe his MLS career outside of when DC United kicks him in the ankles. So, but Jozy was phenomenal in those games, and Jozy was great all season. And if he can stay close to that level for a full season, it'll be so much fun to watch.
Yeah, there's ifs there, but there's some potential answers. New York City FC, the New York teams 1-2 in the East in 2016, and New York City FC were second, 54 points, 15-10-9. Another team that was great on the road, needs to improve at home, no doubt about that. They went out and made some moves. Sean Accoli, who was the leading scorer, golden boot winner, I believe, in USL, Dave. Sean Johnson, the new goalkeeper, traded through like five different teams in like a, I don't know, like a Caribbean shell corporation.
But now he's home in the Bronx.
Yeah, ended up in the Bronx. So he's the new goalkeeper there. Miguel Camargo, a Panamanian international, a young guy, 23, an attacking player, can play in the middle, can play out wide. And then Jonathan Lewis, who they paid $250,000 in allocation money for, comes in out of the super draft. They made some good moves here. We still think they have needs, and this is like a broken record right now. Center back.
Yeah.
They need help at center back.
Well, you and me covered the MLS draft, and that was the deepest position in the draft. And what we said was because also every team in MLS needs one.
Yeah.
So every team had the chance to get one, and it's just teams spend on the attacking side of the ball, and there's been an ability to find fullbacks under the radar. Center back has been much tougher, and NYCFC puts so much pressure on those center backs because they make them play. And they play through them, and the field is small.
Yeah, you have to have that specific sort of player. It's not a profile, and it's not a profile that's like just walking around for free.
Yeah,
I mean you gotta invest.
Although they thought it was with Chanel that it was walking around for free, but yeah, and they have some guys at times in midfield who don't really run that much and don't play that much defense, so it makes it even harder. And it's the big question mark right now.
Yeah, but Andrea Pirlo looks great doing it. I mean, yeah, look, that is the question: defensive midfield as well. Areola's gone. He had a great season for him last year. So are you cool with Mikey Lopez? You cool with Pirlo? You cool with, I don't know,
Sammy Kadira?
That's the rumors?
Yep. Juve says they need him, but they say MLS is pushing hard for him. He's a guy who, quality-wise, would step in and do everything they need and more. He's had a tough injury history, and so it's a lot to invest in a guy like that. Remember what happened with Frank Lampard? Those guys, sometimes it's maybe not the best idea to lock in on them because when they're there, you're great, and when they're not, you're not.
Yeah,
and you can't really control it.
That could be a game-changing signing for them, no doubt about that. Reasons to watch him, though, Jack Harrison, year two. Like most rookies not named Jordan Morris, who just improved as the year went on, hit a little bit of a rough patch where he just wasn't quite as effective. He's had a whole offseason to get his body right, to prepare. He's had the season to know what's up. He also started last season injured, and I think people forget that, so having a good base as far as preseason will be great. Also, I'm just jacked by the fact that Patty V appears to trust Americans. Like, you talk about Kadira.
Yeah.
I'm almost like, part of me thinks he wishes he had another draft pick to go snag somebody.
Yeah.
He seems to really value
young
Americans.
Yeah, he's traded up both years. He sees value. Of course, Generation Adidas helps.
Yeah,
because it doesn't
help.
Hit the salary cap. But, no, he played Jack Harrison. He plays Tommy McNamara. He's got Kyrie Shelton on that team. He went out and he got Sean Accoli as his addition this year at backup center forward, rather than go out and get some guy out of the championship or some young player out of South America. So he's valuing that area, and it's interesting. It's exciting. Obviously, Tommy Mack's always exciting to watch. And when you look at Jonathan Lewis, he's a guy who's fairly straight line right now. There's not a lot of nuance. Yep. There's a lot of speed. But
Jack Steven Mendoza. I mean, I'm more
Jack
excited
Harrison
about that than
Harrison was,
Mendoza,
too,
right?
At times last
year.
Yeah,
that's true.
So if Harrison can take a
and
step
Kyrie
forward.
Kyrie Shelton definitely is.
Yeah. So if Harrison can take a step forward, Lewis can maybe replace some of the production you're saying Mendoza gave you. Obviously, you're losing a lot with Lampard right now. Maybe they can find a way to at least hang where they were last year as a top three or four team in the
East. David Villa's got to be MVP caliber, probably, unless you're getting a lot more out of some of these complementary parts. Still some questions about where you play Tommy McNamara as this new configuration. We talked about defensive midfield. We feel like they need to figure that out and replace Lampard's impact, because I hear you groaning out there. Yeah, he was injured at times, but when he played, he scored goals.
He also
effective.
Helped Jack Harrison. So Harrison was at his best when Lampard was in last year, connecting with him. Mm-hmm. A lot of give and goes down that right side to help him open up space without having to beat guys on the dribble. Now, without Lampard, can Harrison be as effective in those moments?
So, can they defend? And do you want to just venture a guess, Mix Discrud, how many appearances he makes this year? Does he play for this team?
No.
It's baffling. Like, what's
going
on here?
He won't play for NYCFC. On, right? He'll play in Major League Soccer this year, but he won't play for NYCFC.
Oh.
Take.
Okay. Not at all. Not one game. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll hold you to that one. New York Red Bulls finished first, 57 points, 16, 9, and 9. The moves, you know about them. Dax McCarty traded to Chicago Fire. We talked about that. That's a huge, huge move. They haven't really been active otherwise. Zico Lewis and Dan Metzger coming in, draft pick, and a homegrown out of Red Bulls too. Like the Union, I just feel like something's coming here. Something has to be coming, especially with that cap space they freed by letting Dax go. That gets filled. Somebody's got to fill that. You have allocation money. You've got about 450K in cap space from that maximum hit. You probably bought it down with TAM, but that now means you have more TAM to work with as well. So something's got to happen here. But the big question, which we might as well skip around to right now, is what's going on with the front office? What's going on with the coaching? There is uncertainty at Red Bull. This is a year that could be successful once again, and we see the system push on, or it could be, quote-unquote, that's so Metro and go to pot. What do you think?
I think they'll be successful this year. I think there'll be moments similar to when Pecky got let go, where people are really upset and frustrated because there's confusion what it looks like from the outside. But I think at the end, they're going to be one of the top two or three teams in the East going into – I think I've said that about seven teams already – going into the playoffs. So you're going to look at
seven or eight teams that are top three teams.
Which is, you know, the way it should be. Which so people are going to look at it when a move gets made, when something happens, and say, I can't believe this team after all the success they've had. And then in the end, they're going to be just as good, if not better, than they were over the last 2 years.
You think?
Yeah.
Better?
I think
they got to go get a center back.
No, 100% moves have to be made for them to be better. But
can we just get a button where I just say they got to go get a center back? I mean,
that's easy. Staples.
Yeah, center back. Kalin, Gideon Bah, who I'm not convinced is a starting center back in this league. And then they got a young cat in there. That's really it at center back. I think they need to go make a move there. Right back's a question mark, I think, still as well. Connor Lade coming off injury. Salzizo has been pretty effective the last couple of years, but you wonder whether that's enough at right back. And then I think they need to go get a forward behind BWP. I know Brendan Allen was good in USL. I'm not sure that he's the MLS answer.
I don't know that that's a need for where they're at.
It's not a pressing need right now. This second, center back's way bigger. There's no doubt about that.
If they get production from Royer and Verone, either of those or both of those, I think that BWP and Brendan
Allen.
What about Dabgod? Yeah. I mean,
Derek Etienne?
I think there's a possibility Derek Etienne wins MLS MVP this year, and I think that that's an obvious one.
Whoa.
But if they get production from those two guys on top of everything else they have, I think Brandon Allen and BWP will be enough for them to not hold it.
Are Sean Davis and Tyler Adams enough to fill the Dax role?
I don't know. I really do not know.
It's going to be fun to find out.
It will be interesting to find out. It also means that Felipe is going to have to be better because he's going to be more of he's going to have to take more responsibility in that role. Sean Davis is obviously a phenomenal human being. I would talk history with Sean Davis all the time. He's good on the ball.
Just know if you want to talk history or geopolitics with Dave, you're his favorite person.
You're already my favorite in the league. He's good on the ball. He's comfortable. He's clean, but he got production. He got time last year. But it's so different just playing the minutes in MLS, the travel in MLS.
And having the weight of that burden because you're not just coming in and you're not getting your opportunity. You're coming in for the captain. You're coming in for Dax. You're coming in for a guy who was beloved by the fan base and beloved by his teammates. It's a tough position to fill. But Sean Davis appears to have the faith of those guys. BWP has been effusive in his praise for Sean Davis. And I think we saw last year that Sean Davis might be a better attacking option sometimes than Dax. It's not his primary job, but
that's one of the issues, though, is he's not the same type of player as Dax. So does that make the team better, or do they realize that they're missing
something?
Does
Felipe drop back, or does Davis drop back?
Yeah,
Who plays that sixth role?
They're two very similar players, and that's why it's a little surprising maybe that Felipe wasn't the one that was moved and Dax was kept. But obviously Dax has more value on the market.
Look, there's still a lot of reasons to like this team. I mean, Sasha Kleshchen's a stud. BWP, for as much as I'm sitting here saying, hey, they need a backup center forward, it's mostly just because of those playoff issues. He's been lights out in the regular season. He's killed it the last 3 years. He's been absolutely just brilliant. He doesn't get hurt. He scores goals. That's all you want from a center forward. And then he can make a run at CCL. Like, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Let's see
if they
can
beat
do
Vancouver,
it.
They'd have to play a Mexican team, Liga MX team. But, yeah, you've already gotten that far. If they bring in a center back, I mean, the rest of it with them is they're pretty settled.
Yep.
So when you look at teams for CCL runs, you know, the Vancouver's where it's like, oh, we're going to make additions and try and be better next year, seem less likely to be able to hit the ground running in February than a team like this where Jesse's worked with these guys for 2 years.
Let's go to Atlanta United, year one, no record, no finish. We'll finish with them. The moves, you know all about them. We've talked about it a lot on this show. Almiron, Villalba, Assad, can they settle the three young South American attackers? You got young cats on this team, homegrowns, draft picks, guys they signed internationally. You've got veterans, Lorenowitz, The Answer, Parkhurst, guys like that. Looks like they have a good roster balance. Dave, they probably still need a goalkeeper, probably a starter, unless you're saying Alec Khan is your guy. A center back is a definite need, and they've said they're going to go out and spend money defensively. That, to me, says DP. And they're looking at goalkeeper for Brad Guzan in the middle of the year. So that's probably how that one's answered. I completely forgot about that somehow. Right back, Tyrone Mears has kind of hinted on Twitter that he will sign with Atlanta, but
it
that's not official.
Awesome signing, though.
It would be a great signing. They'd look good at outside back if they did that. Look, this team is pretty straightforward right now because we don't know anything about them, so it's hard to say much about how it'll fit together. But the reasons to watch are obvious. It's year one, and they have big ambitions. So how does it pan out? Do they fall on their face? Do they hit the ground running? Are they Seattle Sounders, or are they some other, you know, are they, you know, Chivas USA?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
we'll see.
You look at Orlando and NYCFC, two teams that were in the conversation for the playoffs their first year. You look at Montreal Impact in their first year, a team that was strong, was a solid MLS team. That's, I think, what you hope for, because Seattle might just be a little bit too much to hope for. But because of the money they've spent and the splash that they've made with some of these signings, it makes, I think, it's worrying to see where the expectations could be for this team early on. I think you get a good center back, and you mentioned it, but Greg Garza and Tyrone Mears are as good a fullback pairing as you can get.
It looks good there.
And then you're saying, well, can Michael Parker, Zach Lloyd, and Miles Robinson, the three of them, give us enough at backup center back and our other center back?
And can Tata Martino translate his success internationally and with Barcelona and clubs in South America to MLS? It's not as simple as just being a good coach. You know, it can be, but a lot of times in MLS, it doesn't always work out with like that. And Patrick Vieira is a good example of a guy who came in, figured things out, was a little bit humble, likes the kind of the parity and the learning process and the way every game's a little bit different, and we saw him thrive tactically. Now, can Tata Martino do that? Can he get his young South Americans to settle? And what happens, I think, when this team goes through a bad run?
And
they're going to.
Right.
Do they fall flat, or do they have the kind of toughness mentally and physically to push through it? That's why the veterans are there, I think.
And I think the quality is there. And I think when you look at Tata, I would love the Julian Gressel pick. This is a guy who could play for him in four or five roles this year. That shows me that he was scouting college soccer, that he was understanding, talking to these guys.
Or that Paul McDonough and Carlos Bocanegra.
Maybe.
Who cares, though? Doesn't matter who's scouting him.
But they're saying Tata came into the interview for the job, and he already was talking college soccer.
Yep.
He was already looking at MLS, other teams, guys that he wanted to bring in. And you look at the addition of Jeff Laurentiis and Jacob Peterson, and that to me says that he's looking at these guys, and he understands to an extent what's successful in this league. And then, once again, any of these young guys, if they play to the level we think that they could play, Assad, Villalba, they're going to be as fun to watch as anyone in the league.
It is
also
be fun.
Kenwin Jones is as cool a person.
No, how do we
is.
Not mention him? That is that's good stuff.
I already did a photo shoot, like a Southern Comfort style photo shoot, and the photographers and the people who ran it had no idea what to do with themselves because Kenwin Jones is just Kenwin Jones.
We'll end there. Eastern Conference, it's going to be fun in 2017. We ran through it as preseason starts on Thursday. We will do the Western Conference. Right now, though, we'll go to break. CCL changes coming up.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions. Get a superstar.
Back now on Extra Time Radio into the mailbag. Andrew Wiebe and David Goss here on MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXMFC Channel 85. We've told you about the Eastern Conference, and this episode Thursday will be the Western Conference. You'll get your primer out west as we head into the 2017 MLS season. Preseason started today, Monday, January 23rd. And you're lucky because this isn't the only soccer talk you're going to get this week from us. Yeah, Monday and Thursday, you're used to that. I get it. But we're getting you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday as well. And it's an extravaganza of interviews, really. Dom Kinnear and Mauro Biello hitting us tomorrow on Tuesday. Oscar Pareja, Wilmer Cabrera on Wednesday. And then Jason Kreis finishes the week off on Friday. You won't want to miss any of those. You can find them all at MLSsoccer.com or go out there and subscribe on iTunes, wherever you listen. We want to hear from you. At Extra Time Radio, Extra Time at MLSsoccer.com. If you want to give us some feedback, this mailbag, though, is devoted to the CONCACAF Champions League, Dave. That's because the long-rumored revamp has arrived. We got details this morning from the Federation. Basically, they're creating two separate tournaments. It's not just the one tournament anymore. The CONCACAF Champions League, quote-unquote, will run from February to May every year, starting in 2018. That's 16 clubs in two-legged home-and-away matchups all the way through the final. So basically, it's kind of like the knockout round just boiled down and into one. Qualification there, eight teams from the U.S. and Mexico, 4-4. Seven teams, the champion from each of these countries, Canada, Panama, Costa Rica, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. Guatemala is listed in there twice, so I'll figure that out. Anyway, it's the champions. And then one team that comes out of this newly created tournament, which I don't think has a name yet, but that will run from August to October of this year. And that's going to be for all the like second and third place teams in Costa Rica, from teams out of Belize, from basically smaller nations that have now kind of been pushed out of this group stage phase and the preliminary stage of what was the CCL. So you've got a team from Belize, three teams from the Caribbean, then two teams in that, each from Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Panama. So there's changes there. It's a little bit interesting because it looks like teams that qualified out of last season, of course, the ones that are in the knockout round, you know, the New Yorks, the Vancouvers, those will continue on through this year till the final. But then the teams that qualified last year, it looks like won't jump in until 2018, until that 16-team tournament goes down.
Yes, that is what
will happen.
A break.
That's Garth, like three transfer windows.
That's what Garth Lagerwey had sort of alluded to, was we're not quite sure what's happening, but we don't actually think we're playing.
Right.
CCL this year.
You've got some time to prepare.
Yeah, TFC as well. They have some time to prepare. It seems like they're trying to help MLS teams make it be a little bit easier. It doesn't hurt other leagues, so it seems like it makes sense. Knockout is always tough because anything can happen in a two-legged affair rather than a group stage, although a three-team group stage doesn't leave a lot of leeway for mistakes as well. Does it help the Central and Caribbean teams? I mean, that's a question mark for CONCACAF that's been asked over the last few months specifically.
Yeah.
And over the last few years is it too geared to the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, mainly the U.S. and Mexico, with every Gold Cup being here and Mexico being playing in favorable stadiums every single time? That's a question about the Confederation. Yeah. Does this help those teams, maybe giving them a competition with each other? One of the things I find interesting is if you have an Apertura winner go into a tournament in February, maybe they don't get picked dry. So, like, Arabe Unido's done well in this tournament, then they start losing players because people watch them. Saprissa did well in this tournament. The team that plays in the knockouts is not going to be the same team that was in the group stage, which was a team that could have won.
But that's a general statement, I think, that you can make across the board in for Mexican teams, for MLS teams. I mean, change is coming, and maybe it provides an opportunity to invest. We will see how this all works out. It's really a dry slate right now. I do want to correct something here. It was the winner of the Caribbean Club Championship, which was that additional team in addition to Canada, Costa Rica, Guatemala, Honduras, Panama, and El Salvador, those champions, that will move on into that phase two, the quote-unquote CONCACAF Champions League. We still don't have a name for phase one. Right now, CONCACAF is just calling it the, drumroll please, new tournament. So we will see what
we
happens
with that.
We
should just name it phase one.
I actually kind of like phase
one. It's a good name.
It doesn't have a good – it's maybe not good – marketing
has
in the
nothing
Caribbean
to do with soccer,
America,
but phase
but,
is a fun
yeah,
word.
Phase is a fun word. Yeah, I mean, look, February to May is still not ideal times for MLS teams. So anybody out there saying that this was constructed straight up for MLS, I'm not sure that part of it's true. But I do think taking those games out of the group games, out of kind of the schedule in, you know, August, September, October is probably a good idea, because we saw, like, Sporting KC, when they got into that race for the playoffs, Peter Vermees had to be like,
yeah,
which know, is this
why
doesn't really matter to us right
now. Now you can, when you have fixture congestion at the beginning of the year, focus on CCL rather than on MLS, which might mean that MLS teams do better. And also, I mean, if you do get to a final, by May you should be close to where you want to be as a team playing-wise, playing style. So that makes it a little bit easier. But once again, like you say, you have MLS teams in preseason playing in CCL.
Yeah.
Which it's might be unavoidable, but
Montreal Impact have a little bit of a blueprint for teams out there. Of course, I still think Mexico, they're the Giants. They remain the Giants in this competition. It's not going to be as easy as just a little bit of a scheduling tweak and a competition tweak to knock them off their perch. That, ultimately, for MLS teams, regardless of schedule, regardless of format, is, you know, that's the monster you got to slay, and it just hasn't happened yet for those teams. Anything else here? We feel good? Yeah, I mean, we got work to do, right?
Yeah.
I got to put you to work. That's all we're going to have here. Stick around tomorrow. Dom Kinnear, Mauro Biello, exclusive interviews there. And then on Wednesday, Oscar Pareja and Wilmer Cabrera. We'll go down to Texas and figure out what's going on with those teams. Enjoy the week, everybody. Lots of soccer content for you. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.